Women's Shir, Chayvus Halvavus, Shinar HaBechina, Sunday, Chav Dalet Sivan.
The last thing we learned was that he really went from the Bechina perspective of that movement moves everything in the world, and that brings you to Hashem, because someone has to be moving things. And then he sort of says, well, that means Hashem is responsible, more than responsible. Hashem does everything that happens in the world except for Bechira. And that will, you know, like, you know, this is not officially what Bechina is all about, but if you carry, if you're thinking, one of the premises of the Chavis HaLavavus is that you're thinking, then it leads you to realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything that happens, and that leads you to always remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shavisi Hashem, the Lord of Sunday, because if he's responsible for everything that happens, then he's always right there, making you catch the bus, miss the bus, come to the class, not come to the class, except that's Bechira, maybe. That's Bechira ben Tov Ra. Maybe he doesn't involved in that, even though he does, because he gets involved if you're actually going to come. Right? That's what we learned also, because all this elaborates upon that in Shaar HaBitachon. Your Bechira is only the decision-making process. Whether you can carry out your decision or not is, again, just, you know, that's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Anyway, and then he says that, and then again, and once you realize that everything that happens is Hashem's doing, there's a little following from the Bechina perspective of movement. So he says, once you realize that, so then you'll, when things that are not so pleasant happen to you, you will realize that it's the Ratzon Hashem, and you'll realize it's, and then, oh, so it's really the Tov. So it's not just because you're optimistic or you're Pollyannish, but because if you realize it's from Hashem, so almost by definition, and maybe not even almost, but really by definition, there is Tov involved. Maybe you don't see it, maybe you don't sense it, maybe you won't see it, maybe you'll see it in a year, maybe you'll see it in 5 minutes. But there's Tov involved because Hashem is doing it. Shaar HaBechina leads you to the inescapable conclusion. This is really another reason why Shaar HaBechina is second after Shaar HaYichud. You know, it's boring, and less people come. And that's okay with me, but I feel bad, because if the Chavis HaLavavus put it second, it means this is so vital to do. And then, you know, people say, oh, I have trouble having bitachon, and I have trouble this, I have trouble that. Yeah, well, because the Chavis HaLavavus built his sefer like a building. And if you skip a floor, or you get, you know, you don't fully develop a foundational floor or even a bottom floor, it's hard to keep climbing. So anyway, so one of the things you said about Shaar HaBechina is that it's the way we experience Hashem. It's sort of an every man's Shaar HaYichud. Shaar HaYichud will be to intellectuals, to philosophers, and every man's Shaar HaYichud will be Shaar HaBechina. So here you have another example of that, another manifestation of that, because Shaar HaBechina leads you to Shavisi Hashem L'Negdi Tom. It leads you to realizing that Hashem is doing everything that's happening around you, and therefore you will look at it as Tov. And then he says, and that's the last point we made last week, that this actually he makes into a separate area of Bechina, something to contemplate, something to study. And that is that so many times things happen to us, or to you, or to me, or to people, and at the time it looks terrible, it looks horrible, it looks depressing, and then good comes out of it, and we applaud the final result. So that's what he says. So that concludes this line of thought that Hashem is in back of everything, and therefore it leads to the Tov. And he says, the opposite's also true, because Hashem punishes Rishayim. So many times we say in the Mizmor Shili on Shabbos, Pesroach Rishayim Kamo Esev, Yotzitzu Kofuale Oven. Rishayim many times are being Matzliach. It looked like the bad guys are winning. Haman was like so full of himself, he couldn't believe his fortune. Richest man in the kingdom, he has a king's heir. The queen invited only him to the Suda 2 days in a row. Aflo he via Esther, right? And he's mamish so, and he goes home and he starts darshaning how great he is to his wife. He makes the shri for Mordechai. We know the story, but you have to look at it from the perspective of the Chavit Halbavos, that Haman super matzliach for a very short tekuva. It was very short tekuva, but he was. And he goes to the party and he's really full of himself because he's the only one invited, a private party, and he goes and it was his execution. He was going to his execution. He got a very lovely invitation, but it was an invitation to his execution. That's what he didn't realize. So when bad things happen, it's Hashem. Hashem is running the world, and yes, sometimes the Rishon have the upper hand. Sometimes Hashem have the upper hand temporarily, and we have to know that Hashem is doing that also, not the Rishayim. They'll get punished, but it's not them that's doing it. For whatever reason, whether it's part of the historical process that we have to undergo, I just saw yesterday about, I was reading in some magazine, some Narisha magazine, I really should be ashamed to admit it. About the Jewish community in Germany.
Yeah.
And yeah. Statistically, it's the fastest growing Jewish community in the world. And, you know, it's hard to imagine someone could walk there and listen to the language and hear people talking German. I don't know how you could do it. But they're there. Maybe most of them are not from. Anyway, my point is, it's Lubavitch is there. It's like Lubavitch is everywhere, right? Like Coca-Cola and Lubavitch. And they make a parade, and they parade down the street where they used to drag Jews, and they used to beat up Jews. And it's not that many years later. It's 60 years later. And now you have thousands of Jews holding up signs. Am Yisrael Chai. And they're marching down that boulevard 60 years later, and that is very inspiring. You say, well, and as I said last week, 2 weeks ago, we all know we are living the aftermath of the Holocaust. The Jewish community is richer than ever before, more fertile than ever before, more powerful than ever before. We came back there as Israel. Something nobody would have dreamed of 100 years ago. 100 years ago, who would have dreamed? There was some Meshuggah guy called Herzl. Meshuggah, right? And it happened. And it happened. It's just, and that's, it's Bechina. You have to apply Bechina to that, says the Rebbe's Hal Bavos. You have to, like, feel, oh my goodness, like, Hashem is here. So he says it applies when bad things happen. Doesn't it mean bad things happen? Then we get a flat tire. We're talking about everyday life. And the reason it's happening is it's good. Now why is it good? Maybe it's good because it teaches me to be calm. Maybe it's good. We don't know always. We're trying to figure it out, and sometimes we never figure it out. But if we know it's Hashem, but this is what's fascinating to me. It's not a theological, intellectual belief. Chabadus wants it to grow out of Shar HaBechina because of this idea that the world functions because of movement. And
and therefore there has to be a mover. And that brings us to Hashem, and now, like, whoa. And that's what he says, and he right away, like, there's not even a segue, and he's, like, talking naturally, and he, you have to read the sentences, he says. And therefore you will realize that everything's happening from Hashem, and therefore you will realize everything happening is the Tov, and you will be Rotzeh B'Gozeh Rotzov, you will willingly accept whatever his goes there, because you know it's him. And you will, and I said, I want someone to make a website where people write in stories how bad things happened to them, and then how they found out it was good for them. Traumatic things. I said, I had two traumatic things in my life. Mine was traumatic. It's the reason I'm not a normal person. I was traumatized. They didn't send me to a psychiatrist. Really traumatized, but it didn't. Baruch Hashem, Hashem took care of me, and it turned out good. That's my point. It turned out great things, and really, connected the depth of the sorrow, I can honestly say, one day, I don't know when, because it's too personal, but connected the depth of the sorrow, it was life. It was all the Hashem Kitokin, amazing. But everybody has that in their lives, more or less. That's what he says. He says, do b'china on that. Look around and see how things that you are depressed and things you're so upset about, how it turns out good. Millions and billions of examples. Someone's parent could die young, or a spouse, and it changes their life, though. And so it changes their life, and they grow, and they shag, and they have to become independent, whatever the case may be. Well, they grow closer to Hashem, which is the greatest Tov in the world. We have to live that. We have to live that if that's accomplished, then that was the greatest Tov that could have happened to me. And then he says it works bad, but when you see Rishon being Masliach, it's Hashem, and like I say, before Rishon Kmo Esav, Haman got a gilt-edged invitation, and it was an invitation to his execution. Rishon Kmo Matayah. That's what he's saying is Rishon Kmo Shabbos. Now, he tells a story, it's an apocryphal story, and it brings out the point. It doesn't matter if the story is true or not. A bunch of travelers, they were resting alongside a wall, and the dog came and urinated on one of them, so he woke up from his sleep and imagined what he was thinking to himself. So he got up to wash himself off from the urine. The dog was a shliach to save his life. So the story happened. It didn't happen. It doesn't matter if it didn't happen. You can't say it can't happen. You can't say it never did happen and it never will happen. Because he's claiming that everybody experiences this. You just have to use b'china. You have to see it. It happens quite often. Okay, we're moving on. He's going back to nature. I mean, he moved away from biology already, but he's going back to nature, and he's talking about now rain. We all learned in school, the rain cycle. But if you ever learned Eov, maybe one day we'll learn Eov. If you ever learned Eov, Eov spends a couple prokim at the end talking about weather, how unpredictable it is, and how it's obvious that Hashem controls the weather, because you learn Eov, it's very difficult to learn. You learn with Malvin, you learn with Abinel, you learn with this, you learn with that, or Schwab, they just came out with a parish of Schwab, and Eov. But it's obviously talking about the weather, it's very difficult, but now, again, in the modern world, it's much easier to see it, because now they just say there's a 60% chance of rain. They don't even predict anymore. They know that they'll be wrong. three quarters of the time, or half the time. Don't get wrong, half the time. Right? When they predict the weather, more than 5 days is a joke. They admit it's a joke. They have no idea more than 5 days. Within 5 days, they have like a little, like, it's not a chance it'll be that way. But we all, you know, it's going to rain today and it doesn't rain. No chance of rain, 0% chance of rain. Naivum. Okay. So he's going to talk about the gift, but he's going to talk about the gift of rain. How rain and Shaar HaBechina is such a part of the, it gives chayim to the world. It gives life to the world. Rain is water. Hashem is supplying the world with water. It's making plants grow. That's food. Everything is plants. Everything is plant life. When we eat meat, we're not eating meat. I mean, we're eating meat, but how do the animals live? Animals live because they eat plants. Plant provides life. And the Shaar HaBechina vision sees all vegetation is as the food, as the earth's food supply, and that's clearly what it is. Vegetation and trees. I mean, all vegetation, I don't know what word to use, all botanical. Besides the beauty of non-edible things, flowers, chadome, just food. And I'm saying meat is not meat. Meat is just Hashem's gift to us that something eats the plant life, and we eat its meat. And rain. Rain makes it work. Rain makes everything go. Among the greatest of things that you could study, and again, over 1,000 years ago, now it's even more mind-blowing. Kalilas Matnos Elokim, the crown, beautiful words, the crown of all the gifts of Hashem. The Balei Chayim, to living creatures, the Semech Adam, to vegetation, is Kageshamim. Rain. The season when they're needed, the Yeridasim, the Itam, that it rains. That the world needs rain, it needs watering, and it taka rains. That's why there's a special mention, Mashi Baruch, Morit HaGeshem, the same Talumot of the Bracha. K'mayshomer HaKosov, in Tanakh, if you know Tanakh, you see Tanakh talks about rain, like, Hayesh Bahavle Hagoyim Makshimim amongst the Hevel, the Avodah Zarah, the Goyim. When they make it rain, we have Hashemayim Yitnu Revivim, will the heaven give out raindrops? Halo Atah Hu Hashem Elokeinu, Unakav Elokho, Kiato Asisas Kol Eile. Again, Bechina is greatness of Hashem, complexity of Hashem, wisdom of Hashem, planning of Hashem, Chesed of Hashem. Without rain, there's no agriculture, there's no food. The Gemara in Tainus talks about Gadol Yom HaGeshamim, like the day Torah was given, like the day of Tchias HaMesim. It is a Tchias HaMesim. This is making things grow. And very, very complex. It starts off in the ocean. It's evaporated by the heat of the sun. It goes into the sky, it becomes clouds, winds bring it to where it's needed, and then it comes down by gravity, it condenses. Sometimes it mamish waters vegetation, sometimes it just goes back into the earth, into the sea. It goes into streams, it goes into rivers, and it ends up back into the sea. Omar below Omru Belvavam, and they didn't say in their hearts, the Novi says, Nirano as Hashem Elokeinu, let us fear Hashem. Hano Saint Geshem, who gives rain. Yore, it's the early rains, Umalkos, the late rains, there's different kinds of rains. There's rains that come down. There's actually rains that come down and they break off the branches. It's actually called a pruning rain. There's rains that come down, the water promotes growth. His rains that come down for the water supply. Be'ito, shavuos, chukos, kotzir, yishmor lono. The Timzah HaGotzot Mangul Yonam Ha'od, the Torah emphasizes to a great degree the importance of rain. Rain is life. second to oxygen, second to what we breathe. Ba'omro osa gedolos ve'en cheker, niflos adein misbar, wonders beyond number, hanosin motor al p'nei oretz. V'shaleach mayim al p'nei chutzos, losum shvolem lemorom, v'kodrim sogu yesha. People have something to eat, people who are hungry. One of the, I said before, a few minutes ago, the biggest Torah that can happen to us is to become closer to Hashem. And sometimes it takes a tzara to bring us closer to Hashem. But that is the greatest thing that can happen to us. It's the Industrial Revolution made our lives much easier, and now it's very hard to make a shechiyanu. At least in America, it's hard to make a shechiyanu because you go to your Korean grocer, every fruit the whole year round, you get anything you want, right? Because they ship it. We have a very modern transportation system, and it's growing somewhere in the world. They just ship it here. They spray paint it whatever color it's supposed to be, to make you buy it, and then you buy it. So we don't appreciate the rain. We don't appreciate the seasons. We have food all year round. It's geschmack, and it's great to go up and down the aisles and buy what things we want. But we're menutak from Hashem. No question about it. The fact that, I think, the Industrial Revolution and the fact that there's fewer and fewer farmers, and we're not growing our food, we're not milking our cows and saying, where did this milk come from? We went to the supermarket and we're buying it. But when we talk from Hashem, it's seer, even water. You know, the water used to be, is it going to rain? And every day you look up to the sky, oh my, the moon, is it going to rain today? Now you turn on your faucet, you have water. So it's more expensive, less expensive. It takes like a lot. There's a water shortage, Water shortage, you can't water your plants every day. Oh my goodness, I can't water my plants every day. That's terrible. But we're more menutak from Hashem, no question about it. So we have food all year. So it's more geschmack, more convenient, and more pleasant, and it's in sync with the rest of our lives. We're living in a world like cell phone, all the conveniences that we have. But we're not closer to Hashem, we're further and further and further from Hashem. And ultimately, and by we I mean the world, we have become the Dor HaFlado. We've become totally industrialized, and we can do Melchama with Hashem. The world is atheistic because who needs Hashem? You want water, we have water. You want whatever you want, we can provide for you. Not realizing that that's silly, but that's the world we're living in. But when everybody was a farmer and you woke up and you looked up to the sky and you said, please Hashem, what's going to be with my crop? I got to eat. Now it's a question of, should I go to Yesh or should I go to Zol Po Hayoser Zol Po? Yeah. Okay. And the Chayyim HaLoz does not talk about wind. Doesn't talk about how plants use wind to draw in carbon dioxide. Right? A person, wind is fast too. We breathe. Right? You don't have to keep moving in order to breathe. You use up the air around here, and now I have to move to the next place to breathe. There's always wind. The air is always moving. Doesn't talk about the wind. I'm saying it's part of the rain cycle. So he just spends a few words. Literally, just a few words talking about the greatness of rain. Now he talks about the amazingness, probably no such word, the amazingness of seeds. He says, from one seed, right? Now we're fancy, we know there's DNA, we know there's all the blueprints. All the blueprints of all the whole tree is in that seed. It's a computer. The seed's a computer. Now we can understand the seed. Chazalov was like, just was amazed at a seed. Look what it can do. We should be more amazed, not less. So that the seed's a computer, and it has in it all the plans and all the instructions for things to grow. And you end up with a huge tree with millions of seeds. Like, how did that happen? From one seed comes millions of seeds, and each seed has the instructions to grow more. It's amazing. When our tema, receive us on the Zoros Min Hazron, Hashem gave us food from seeds. He gagger echad, one kernel of grain, motzi elef, the yoser, produces 1,000, more than 1,000 kernels. She knows them not to go. If there's no drought, and if there's no, you know, if the sun doesn't harm it, the animals don't get to it. For Nemar, ki motzi begagger echad shalchita, one wheat kernel, shlosh meos shibolet. It could grow 300 wheat stalks. I don't know. Maybe it could grow more, maybe it could grow less. It doesn't matter, really. Because now we know that there's more data. There's more data. D-A-T-A. There's more data in a kernel of grain than there are in the whole library. There's hundreds of thousands of instructions that are imprinted on the DNA molecules of the kernel. That's what we know now. And they have all the instructions needed to make more plants, leaves, roots, more seeds, all with the seed. Ah, I see. The Chazal is meant that there is stalks of wheat in the seed, like little teeny. They talk about if you look at it. Okay, we know that there's no little teeny stalks in the seed. We know, but what we know is there is even more fantastic and more amazing. With the whole shibolus in every stalk, there's more than 20 kernels. Yes, and they're not coming in. So he loves those huge trees that originate from one little seed. That's Yeshua, and the tree has thousands and thousands of such seeds. V'gidulam echad ala hakoshos of zachartim and hakepel, the growth factor of the trees is like the wheat. Yishtabach hachocham, praised be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hachonein, who out of kindness provides so much food. So when I was growing up, the teachers, we always had our Pikursus teachers, various teachers, they would literally sit and darshan to us. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Malthusian theory that the world's going to run out of food. Now the world, obviously it's false. The world has so much food it doesn't know what to do with it. The problem is that the corrupt people steal it and they sell it, and it doesn't reach the people who are starving. Right? But there's plenty of food in the world. And the whole thing was, you know, a nice theory. It lasted for 20 years, enough to teach it to unsuspecting school children. It's the same with global warming. Don't worry about it. You should do things for the planet, I'm not saying. If you feel it's true, so don't use spray cans, I don't know. If you feel it's true that it depletes the ozone layer, but don't do it because or else the world, Hashem's going to take care of the world. But we have to do our share, so maybe, you know, if you believe it, then you should join Al Gore and you should save the planet. Achonein amasave v'havoyos hadvarim gedolim and akana, who brings about the greatest of results from the smallest of sources. V'achalusha shebesibos kacharamar akoso v'lo niskanu alilos. In other words, we would stop and think with a Bechina eye, with a Bechina perspective, we would realize it. And even in history, it's true. Like a little event. A little event. I remember how the Intifada started. Like a little event. spirals out of control, and it becomes World War II, that's Hashem orchestrating things, and that's what Hashem works. The little seed grows the big tree, and the World War II can be because of someone assassinated someone. That was World War I. The problem is that we throw away seeds. Right? Spit out the seeds, don't swallow it. You want a tree to grow on your side? Right, so you spit the seeds out, so we don't. Now he talks about how it's unbelievable how there's a food supply. There's so many types and ways of feeding so many different types of animals. And every animal has its way of eating and its way of getting food. And I think in Torah tidbits every once in a while there's like a feature that describes just one. The individual types of foods for each kind of living creature, rabbi spar, and you have to realize that the Chaim Halov is talking over 1,000 years ago, and he's saying it's too many to count. And every animal has its way of eating, its food source. Now we know at times 100 what the Chaim Halov is doing. And this is true about mammals also. I mean, each animal gives the milk. That's right. I don't know if elephant milk would be good for a kangaroo or for a tiger. Each one gives the milk that is good for its child. When you think about the different types of food, where how animals get it, again, you connect to Hashem. Plus, it's a big chizuk in our own parnasa. This is what the Mishnah Kiddushin says. Hashem is busy providing food for everybody. He's going to provide food for us also. Balama, for every animal, for every creature. Balama, medavid ha-melech, kulam elech liyusaberin. We say this, right, in Baruch Hinavshi. Everybody is looking to Hashem. Laseis ochlam, to give them their food. And every animal has a different kind of food. Be'ito, in its proper time. Now the animals don't think about Hashem. But it means they're anticipating. They instinctively know that there's a way they're going to get their food. Sometimes it's very elaborate how they end up with their food. Tiftei mohem yulkotun, give it to them and they gather it in. Tiftach yodcha yizbu untol. So when you say these words in Baruch Hinavshi, whether you say it only on Chodesh, or you say Tillim and you get up to Kuf Dalet, or you buy a kever, and this is one of the kapitlach you say by a kever, because it says, you know, Tosef Rucha Bikvon, Vamafara Yeshuvon, but it says, Tishalach Tukachoy Yivorein, Us Chadesh Bnei Adoma. We talk about just like the soil gives forth fresh food, more food, after being dormant, so that's how a person is going to rejuvenate and become alive again. Which is the Pasuk of Ashrei that you have to have Kavanah for. Right? The first Pasuk means the animals instinctively know that they're waiting for Hashem to provide. And indeed, Pasuk Ches Yodecho must be Alechol Chai Ratzon. Some people starve to death, and some animals starve to death. Yeah, that's obviously the exception, not the rule. And it's not like Hashem. There's a reason. Whatever the reason is, it's there, and a reason why that happened. But in the normal hug of the world, 99.5% of the time, probably more, this is all going on, these amazing things. Rabbi Victor Miller here quotes, cites Rabbi Sadia Gaon, that really the world is one big food producing machine. You look at the globe, it has soil. Soil is very special. Soil grows things. Soil is not, other planets don't have soil. Earth has soil, so it produces food. Rain produces food, and the air and the sun and the oceans. So everything. The earth produces food for its inhabitants. And the Yosef the Bori can say, Yosef, I'm going to elaborate more on this, B'Shar B'Tochon Bezos Hashem. because he's not elaborating anything. And Harvey talking, he elaborates, but really only a little. I don't know, it's not that much more than that. About how Hashem gets food on every nook and cranny. Whenever there's a creature, there's the creature's food source. Coming up to the end of the parak, everybody relax. He now goes. Remember, he gave a list of seven disciplines to use Bechina on. And now he is going to turn to something spiritual. Till now we talked about physical, but he wants us to contemplate, think about, and be amazed, and like utterly thankful. And whoa, thank you Hashem. Hashem gave us the Torah. Not just us, not just the Bnei Israel. He gave it to the non-Jews as well. They have the Shalom Mitzvah Bnei Allah. But he revealed to the world his instructions for living. That's Bechina, like, thank you Hashem. You didn't have to do it. So says the Chayim, although the Bagdola Shebetobos, after you've plowed through everything we've been learning these last few months, he says, and the biggest Toba of all, Shehated by my Bori Lo'odom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon mankind, for Raya Chazaka Olam, and the strongest evidence. Remember, the Chavadalos wants Shara HaBechina to make you filled with gratitude towards Hashem, and to make you realize that Hashem exists, and like a Shar HaYichud for every man. So he's saying, Varaya HaChazaka Olam, HaTorah HaNasuna L'Moshe Neviu Olam HaShalom. He gave the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. There were a heck of a lot of people there watching it. Also Sal Yodo, and the miracles that were revealed at the time of Matan Torah, and he will explain later the importance of those miracles. Why Hashem had to put on a hat, and why Hashem put on a sight and sound show, a sight and sound show to give the Torah. Where he made a whole performance, right? But we have a document that so many people saw. Hashem gave us a document. It's also Torah, Shosom Hashem, Nebnei Israel. And the Torah tells us, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Sa'aretz. It tells us about Hashem. It talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Har Sinai, and it talks about serving Hashem. All the things that the Chavis HaLavos was written about. This is all a gift from Hashem with a purpose, just like an apple has a purpose, and just like every form in the body have a purpose. So the Torah has a purpose. It's to give us life, spiritual life, eternal life, to teach us what Hashem wants from us. He didn't have to. First of all, he could have left it up to our own devices, like Avraham Avinu. So we go figure it out. How about Avraham Avinu? We figure it out, right? That wouldn't be. Hashem knew that wouldn't be very. That wouldn't work. And we're the only, I don't want to say only religion, that's a terrible phrase to use, but we should be more sure about Maimon Har Sinai than your average person is sure that George Washington lived. Many more people saw it, many more people gave it over from generation to generation. There was never a period of time in history where it wasn't from Har Sinai and on, that there wasn't a Jewish people who knew that there was a Maimon Har Sinai and Hashem gave them the Torah, right? It didn't happen privately, it didn't happen secretly, it didn't happen with nobody around. And and part of that was the Shanos HaMenhogim Batvoim. There was a Shinui Teva that was part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah is a continuum. One of the 13 animamins is that Hashem bestows nevuah. Man can communicate with Hashem. It's so important. It's one of the animamins. It's like big deal. I mean, does Judaism rise and fall? It wouldn't be nevuah. We feel cool with that because we don't have nevuah, and we're like, we're okay. I don't miss Nevuah. I'm fine. we don't miss a day of Mikdash either. Right? But it's one of the 13 articles of faith that, because that Hashem communicates with people, that's such a powerful idea. A foundation of our Amunah is that Hashem communicates. We believe in Ma'amad HaSinai, of course, but there is always open communication. Or there can be. Obviously, people who are worthy of communing with Hashem. And there was a point in time when the war stopped because people weren't holding there. Or maybe to keep out the imbalance with the destruction of the power of the Zara. So, Hashem took away the war. But it's a foundation of faith that Hashem communicates. Hashem is there. Hashem is will talk to us. Hashem is not hiding. So the shadows haven't hugged back to him. It's the miracles, the heroes, most of them. They haven't before he's gone. But nothing comes from the bay. So the Lord, Hashem, Hashem, and it's trained by Yibra Uham is Hashem. The Minu Hashem, Moshe Abdo. And it was through the Nisim. And that's what the Pasuk says. Atemri Yisemi Yisashar Asisi B'Mitzrayim. Torah is very practical. Hashem is very practical. He doesn't just say, close your eyes and screw up your nose and believe. He says, you saw the Nisim. You saw it. Atemri Yisemi Yisashar Asisi B'Mitzrayim. Ba'esa Enchem Al-Kanfei Nisharim Ba'ovi Eska B'Elai. It was experienced by a multitude of people. Saw it, they all experienced it. But Omar Atoharais al Adas, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, You have seen, it was caused that you should see, in order to know, Ki Hashem hu Elokim ein ol bilvado. But Omar min Hashemayim mishmiachas kolol yasrecha. So that's Bechina. Val Oretz Arachas Yisho Hadidolo. Udvorav shamato mitocho esh. Now he says something that's very famous, and it's famous as being said by the Yavetz. And now, if you want to play one upsmanship with your friends, the next time they quote the Yavetz, you say, the Yavetz, he says, the mivakesh odom bizman hazeh. You want to see something, liros mashu domel in yonim ahem, something to match the miraculous miracles. That's pretty redundant. The miraculous events of Tzias Mitzrayim and Maimon Har Sinai, where you saw Hashem, mamash, you saw Hashem, right? Yabed ve'ein ha'emes, which means, to be honest, it doesn't work if you're not honest. Omdeinu ben ha'umos. Look at how we survived. Look at the Jewish people. And remember when this was written and how much we underwent since these words were written. And not only are we alive and kicking, but we came back to Eretz Israel. It's enough to make you cry, really. We came back to Eretz Israel. We're talking Hebrew, of all things. My goodness. Well, not me, but. We're talking Lashon Kodesh, and we're an oasis in the desert of Rishos and Azorius and animal, disgusting Bnei Yishmael, lowlifes, and then we're sitting here, look at the map, it's a joke, you know, and he's talking in the beginning, but he's talking midway through a 2,000 year gullus. He didn't know what was happening, right? He's talking in the beginning of the sixth millennium, and he's saying, "We are." There were no more Romans. There were no more Greeks. There were no more Egyptians. He says, "We're here. We're around. Everybody knows the Jewish people." So this is something that's famous. Mark Twain, Shulchan talks about it. The Eidus is the most famous, but he says it here, and he says it 1,000 years ago, over 1,000 years ago. The Esau Golus, which was 1,000 years before the Chayvus HaLavus, it was around midpoint between the Churban Beis Hamikdash Hasheni and where we're sitting today. The Seder in Yanenu Beinayim, and we're here. We built yeshivas, we built shuls, mikvos, we have kosher meat. In Bavel, they had Surah, Medisa, they had a Reish Kalusa. Spain was, till America, till America, nothing was like Spain, the golden age of Spain. And we're there, and the grounds and the blood libels are there, right? And then Poland, and Germany. So you think the Holocaust, okay, it's all over. Well, look at us. Look at Hashem did after the Holocaust, you know? It was boom! I mean, it's trite to say that what happened is unbelievable, because it's so unbelievable that achievements, what happened, to say the word is unbelievable. But if you step back and look with an honest eye, and think what, and then you apply what we started off today's class with, and think how the mood people were in 1946.
Even that debate you told us about.
Think how people, I mean, and my father, Shalom, was alive then. It's not something, the people now that were alive then. And who dreamed in 1946 that there's going to be anything left of Jewish people? The EKG showed an almost flat line. And out of nowhere, like, out of a bunch of ragtag riffraff against almost all of them, against Britain, against America's embargoes, against half of Klal Yisrael screaming, it's also right? And so many nuts from people by then. And we rose up. Look at us. Look at us. We have cell phones. And we survived the Goyim. And the Goyim were not our friends. They were not our friends. When we needed a friend, Hashem maneuvered that they should be our friends. Right? If they kicked out of Spain, another country took them in, and they kicked out of Portugal. But nowadays, what's Spain? Portugal is nothing. Jokes. And the Mashonu Bilti Maskimim Imam Besesu Hagolui, we walked around and we had Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we didn't worship and we didn't give in to their enticements to convert, and they threatened Shashir, and every once in a while they would show off with a pogrom. But we're way ahead of them, way ahead of them. The Yeruah Kin Yonenu Efshashia Korobi in Yonenu, but was also betrothed. It's very important because, again, you have to read these words. Someone that's writing it over 1,000 years ago, and he's saying, we're not worse off economically than your average guy. We're doing fine. I'm saying the standard of living was always higher, much more sanitary. Living conditions are much more menschlich. Divorce rate almost nil. Getting drunk, beating the Bible. The Jews were always, and they always had a better standard of living than, I mean, not better than the richest guy, obviously, but always your average Jew was always much, much, much better off than the average guy. As I say, there were no Jewish maids in Goyish houses, but there were always Goyish maids in Jewish houses, or else we wouldn't have any stories how they kidnapped the child. The shackles wouldn't have anything to put on a play about. But Efshar Shia told me Yoneyam, and we're always better off beating the Chomos, the Hatigros, the wars. They didn't want Jews in the army. The Jews were like separate. The problem started when the Ghetto walls came down. What we look at as a great, fantastic Tova is not so good. Not so good. We used to like, they avoid us like the plague. They kept us. The Tira have been known him, their middle class. We don't know the history. Like, I don't know history enough to be able to paint you a picture of the when the Chazalos lived, meaning what conditions when he lived. I don't know enough to be able to paint you that picture. But look what he's describing. Habenonim, their middle class, the lower class, Torchim Yoser min Abenonim Vadal Mesherbe Kubeiru, they have much more. You know, if you compare our middle class to their middle class, and our poor to their poor, we're like tons better off. Tons, and we have a good lot, and we take care of our own. And we have Shabbos and Yom Tov and a family life. It's beautiful. Kamoshe Tichdono, this is a promise from Hashem that came true. That's a Shara HaBachina. We want you to realize it says a pasuk in Chumash and it came true. V'af kam zos b'yoso b'eret zayvim lo'im ma'aspim v'lo ga'altim l'chal olsom l'hofer b'risi yitom. V'omar Ezra, Ezra says, ki avodim anachnu with slaves to Persia, but u'b'yadu seydu lo'azavonu al-kegel, Hashem didn't leave us. V'nemar lule Hashem sho'yolonu yomano Yisrael, Lule Hashem Shoyolonu Bukum Alenu Odom, as I Hayim Bilo Unu, but Rosa Pobonu, as the Mayim Shtofunu, and after a while in Afshenu, and Mayim as they go, and we'd be swept away, we'd be nothing. It's magic. It's Hashem. It's not magic. It's Hashem. It's magical. It's magical that we survived, we thrived, we always had a better life than the Goyim around us. They despised us, they kicked us, and we always bounced back and had way better lives than they did, and this is in the goals. Okay. Let's stop here. Think about this.